From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business.
We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine.
Okay, so I'm standing in line at a hotel waiting to check in, and in front of me is a guy wearing a bright yellow tuxedo and like a yellow top hat or whatever. And I thought, as you might think in a case like this, what is this guy about? This guy can't be serious, right? Now, as it turns out, we were both checking into the hotel for the same event. I was emceeing and he was speaking. This was Biz 360 in Delavan, Wisconsin. I emcee it every year. And I got to know him a little bit later. His name is Jesse Cole, the man in the yellow tuxedo. And he founded a baseball team called the Savannah Bananas. And the yellow tux is his trademark thing. It's part of this whole ethos that he has about business. And that night before the event, Jesse and I got dinner with a few other folks that were speaking, and I liked talking to him, but to be honest, I still didn't totally understand what he was all about. Like, what is this baseball team? And what is up with the tux? Then the next day, I saw him speak, and then I got it.
Here we go, coming now. Oh, yes, high five. Here we go. All right, let's get some throwaways over here.
This is audio from another event that he did. I couldn't find the record of ours. And it's one I'm watching on YouTube now. So Jesse is storming to the stage, throwing candy out into the audience. At ours, he showed up with, I think, some people in dancing bear outfits. I don't know. It's all a haze. But the point is, Jesse is a showman. His entire business philosophy is about putting customers first, thinking 100% about what they want and truly catering to their needs. This is how he built a baseball team that went from total obscurity to sellouts every night. And it's a kind of thinking that he came to many years ago when he took over a failing team.
So I took over a failing baseball team back in Gastonia, North Carolina, 15 years ago.
That's Jesse from a conversation I just had with him for this podcast.
And everyone that I talked to kept saying, we don't like baseball. It's too long. It's too slow. It's too boring. And then we took over another team. They said, the prices, you get nickel and dime. We just kept hearing over and over again about the things that people hate about going to a baseball game. And I said, we have to do the exact opposite. The only way we can survive.
So Jesse came to this wonderful, almost stupidly simplistic realization. The secret to business is to stop doing what people hate. Stop doing what people hate. When I first heard Jesse say that, I was like, oh, that is so perfect. No business would say that they are out there intentionally doing what people hate. But come on, most businesses do, in fact, do things that people hate. Maybe it's the process or the customer service or something about the product or the extra fees or whatever it is. Businesses end up trying to strike a balance between serving the customer and doing things the customer will simply tolerate. But what if you stopped that? What if you literally stopped doing what people hate? What would happen? And how hard is it to do? We ran a story about this in Entrepreneur Magazine a little while ago about Jesse and the whole team and everything that he teaches other businesses. But I wanted to get Jesse on the podcast to talk about it as well, because I think that this phrase, stop doing what people hate, is just extremely important. So on this episode of Problem Solvers, we are going to dig into it to have Jesse explain what it really takes to stop doing what people hate and how this idea can translate far, far beyond baseball and into every kind of business. And we're going to get into it all right after this ad that I hope you don't hate. Work Human Live is not your ordinary HR or leadership conference. Their mission is to unlock the future of the human workplace by uniting and inspiring attendees through transformative ideas, conversations, and authentic human connections. And you don't want to miss this year's event. It's happening May 11th to 14th, 2020 in San Antonio, Texas. So what's going on this year? Oh, so much. They've got more than 70 sessions led by industry thought leaders around the most pressing issues in today's workplace. There is unparalleled opportunities to connect and network with like-minded peers, a fully immersive experience where you can learn and grow, an open dialogue that goes beyond HR and delves into data behind gratitude, implementing human rights in the workplace, and other provocative issues. And of course, you can earn professional development credits. So get in on this holy human experience. Register today at workhumanlive.com and use podcast to save $200. Again, that is workhumanlive.com and use the code podcast to save $200. All right, we're back. So let's pick up with what Jesse was saying before. He was running these baseball teams, but customers were telling him that they just weren't into slow, boring baseball. So Jesse started making some changes. He made the food all you can eat for one price because people hate paying tons of money for food at ballparks. He brought in a crazy amount of entertainment. I mean, he basically made baseball just the stage for which a bunch of insane things would happen during a game. You got a breakdancing coach, game stunts, oversized underwear thrown into the stands. So I asked him this. Was all this driven by thinking about correcting for what people's complaints are about the experience?
Well, we just try to put ourselves in our customer's shoes. And we actually do this. Every game, we go undercover. One person on our staff goes undercover as a fan. And we come and park with the fans. We stand in line with the fans. We sit with the fans. And we get to experience, like, do we like this? And for myself, as a guy who played baseball my whole life, I realized that baseball is pretty boring to watch. And so I was like, I can't watch a whole game. So how do we make it fun? And that's why we introduced the breakdancing first base coach, our dancing players, our senior citizen dance team, our pep band. We just kept thinking about all these circus things that would be entertaining. And then we just kept going. I was like, all right, what are these other things? Not just long, slow, and boring, but getting nickel and dimed and, you know, getting promotions and sponsor ads and all these things. We just kept going down. What are those things that we can eliminate? And I think most companies, if you put yourself in your customer's shoes, like, do you like how you're being treated? Do you like being on hold trying to talk to someone when you call your bank for 10 minutes? I mean, do you like having your bags charged when you fly? I mean, all these things. And the companies that are thriving are the ones that are doing the opposite of that.
Right. You know, that's the crazy thing about the idea of stop doing what people hate is that oftentimes you're sitting around, you're thinking, you know, every business is thinking, how do I separate myself from the noise? How am I better than the competition? And we try to innovate these things and come up with these new solutions. And sometimes the answer is actually just removing some of the friction that is built into your business. It's not adding, it's in a way subtracting.
100%. Well, I don't know who did this, but it might have been Howard Schultz or Jeff Bezos, but they always have a chair at a meeting and it's an empty chair and it represents their customer. And before any decision do we make, does the customer want this? And what most meetings, they say, how can we make more money? And what we focus on is how do we create long-term fans over short-term profits? And by making those decisions, you're not doing things that your customers hate. And so our game is how do we create more fans, have people love us as opposed to have some people that kind of like us. And you don't love a brand if they do things that are frustrating, that are friction points. I say stop the hate, but I also say eliminate the aggravate. If you get aggravated by something, eliminate it. And we've had to look at every piece of our business model to do that. And we throw away money. We throw away lots of money doing it, but we're playing the long game. And it's worked out for us, Jason. As you know, 4 years ago, I was sleeping on an airbed after selling just two tickets. And my wife and I were down to our last dollar. And now, fortunately, with every game sold out, it's starting to work.
Yeah. What is it like to build a culture in your business that is okay doing all that? Because, right, there's talking about it philosophically, you and me right now, and then there's actually executing it. And executing it is difficult. Now, you have something of an advantage here because you have built the company. So you know, this Fan of Bananas, you built it, you've built that team. So everything was able to grow out of this vision that you had. There's buy-in, although I know, and you know, maybe you can speak to this, there have been people who you've hired who weren't able to really grasp it and weren't a cultural fit. But let's talk about what it means to actually build a culture that's okay with leaving money on the table, that's okay with rethinking some of the foundational elements of a business.
Well, it starts, yeah, it's a culture of experimentation. So when we hire, we actually go through what are the ideas that you have. And then when they get hired, we say, all right, let's implement them. And so right away, like literally we had an intern start with us just a couple months ago. And he goes, I love that you call every single fan that buys a ticket and thank them, but we can make it more fun. And I go, what do you have in mind? He goes, well, I'd love to, what if we did a rap? What if we did like a rap to them? It was fun like rap. I go, perfect. I go, you'll do it by the end of the day. He goes, no, I'm kind of awkward. I'm kind of so awkward. I can't do this. And I'm like, well, your name's Austin. You're now Austin, the awkward bananas rapper. And so literally by the end of the day, he did a rap. And so we empower our people to make those decisions and actually do things. Because the reality is, like, we do tons of things that don't work unbelievably well. Like the living pinata, where we put people in a pinata, like that's a whole other promotion in itself.
Right.
It's an experimentation. So when you join our team, you know, you're going to have ideas. And we every month we have idea paloozas where we come in and we have an idea box and we pitch ideas. And then we just say, who's implementing them? And we test. Because again, I think you know this, you've said this before, but quantity leads to quality. And so we are constantly testing new things. And we know out of some of them, our fans are going to love them. And that's just who we are. Because you talk about innovation, but it starts with just, hey, are we doing new things? Are we testing new things? Or are we just continuing doing the same thing that used to work and may not work anymore?
Right, right. You've been working, I know, with other companies and consulting with them. So now at that point, you're trying to infuse this vision into what might be more calcified cultures. And I wonder what it's like for them, because to walk in and say, you know, this thing that you're doing, I understand that there's some logic to it, but customers hate it. So you should stop doing it that way. We should start thinking about it differently. And I assume that what happens is that immediately anybody who's involved in that will start to justify their own existence. No. The reason we do it is because this, you're not understanding that. How do you break through that?
Yeah. The question, are you doing it just for yourself? Or are you actually doing it for your customer? Are you doing it to create fans? Or are you doing it to try to create a little short-term profits? So, you know, we have to give example. I'm a person that, like, in school, the only way I was able to get past was I would look at the examples on the page before and say, all right, that's how I have to do it. Like, I need examples. So we give tons of examples. So for instance, like, we just eliminated a couple months ago, we made everything free shipping. Because I don't think anyone, when they see a $22 shirt and it's $28.50, that pisses people off. That upsets people. So we eliminated that. We don't have any convenience fee. Anybody who has convenience fees, that's the most inconvenient fee in the world. Why do we have this? Like, an $18 ticket for us is an $18 ticket. A $24 shirt is a $24 shirt. And we threw away profits for that, but we want people, it's the transparency of, hey, that would frustrate us. So they look at their business, hey, when you call, do you have an automated response? Is it like, listen closely as our menu options have changed. Menu options are changing all over the world every day, I guess, because that's all that we hear. That's frustrating. And so again, I hate the word audit, but do an audit. What's your voicemail? When people call, what happens? When people come into your store, how are they greeted? Is it frustrating at all? Is there a friction point? And it's crazy. One of the companies that's the least maybe human connection company in the world does an amazing job at that in Amazon, because they eliminated all the friction, the one-click buy, and now they're getting to you quicker. They are so obsessed with your customers that it makes a difference. And for us, I mean, Jason, you've obviously seen this. I believe good companies are obsessed with their product. Great companies are obsessed with their customers. And we, like, are fanatic about fans. Like, we are fanatic about it. And you have to eliminate all that crap first to get there.
Can you share a case study or something that's not a baseball related, where you were working with a company in some completely random industry? I think that when we ran the story about you, there was an example about a construction company, right?
Yeah. I mean, they're a great example. They went through, like, all right, what happens when you go to pay the money to buy a home? You never know what's happening. The frustrating points, are they actually working on my house? So what they started doing is literally their people would be like, hey, we're pouring the concrete now. We'll do a selfie video showing the pouring the concrete. Instead of the electrical tape walk, they made it a celebration. And, you know, they actually have, you know, they have champagne at the end. They have a ribbon cutting. They have a red carpet. So they looked at, like, all right, these frustrating points, when you sign the contract, it's just like, well, let's hope that it works out well. And then it's usually just red tape, red tape, red tape. They take you along. And a lot of times it's just looking, what are the expectations of your customer? So the expectations for these people are like, they want the house done by then, but you just got to take them all on the ride. Look at what your expectations of your customer and say, all right, these are some friction point opportunities and let's be proactive instead of reactive. And I think I've heard that before, like proactive, customer experience is proactive and customer service is reactive. And what they did is they're proactive the whole time on sharing people what's happening and looking like, does this part of the process suck? I'm going to make it better. And so they have some great stories and things they've done, but it sounds like, hey, this just works for a baseball team, but really it's anything. If you're reading a magazine, Jason, like, what are the parts of the magazine that you hate? What are the parts that are frustrating? Same thing on a website. I mean, there's always those things. And I think companies that do ads, they're now doing ads in a much more creative, fun way that are interesting, as opposed to just an ad that's like, here's another ad. And I think that's something that's very interesting too about someone that's selling ads.
Hey, that's a pretty good segue into this ad break we're about to have. In a moment, I'll talk to Jesse about how he builds a culture of innovation inside his company and the very big, very bold, possibly very expensive step he's now taking to take his philosophy to the limit. We'll be right back. What if you could spend less time juggling emails and meetings and status updates and more time doing the work that matters most to your team? You know, like pushing boundaries and solving problems and making something real. Whether you're planning your next marketing campaign, launching new products, or onboarding new vendors, Asana reduces the busy work that wastes time. Asana is a web and mobile application designed to help teams organize, track, and manage their work. And that means Asana gives teams clarity so they understand their plans and goals and how they will achieve them together. And as anyone who's managed a team knows, a team that has true visibility into the plan is a team that is far more excited to go and execute that plan. From small companies to global enterprises, more than a million teams across 195 countries use Asana to plan, organize, and execute their work. Learn more and try Asana for free. Visit asana.com, that is A-S-A-N-A.com, to get started. And now, our next sponsor. If you gather up a bunch of learning and development professionals, and then you say, hey, tell me a problem that you've solved recently, then a lot of them are probably going to tell you this. They'll say, it was once so hard to get our employees to use a learning tool, but then we found LinkedIn Learning. Because LinkedIn Learning is a tool employees actually want to use. That's why it's the choice of L&D pros at 78 of the Fortune 100 companies. These professionals love LinkedIn Learning because it teaches skills that people can use right away. LinkedIn Learning knows what employees need based on insights only available from the LinkedIn community. And it uses those insights to understand which skills are most in demand and then publishes 60 new courses every week. Every week! Then LinkedIn Learning makes personalized recommendations to everyone. So, want to give it a shot and see how it can help you and your team? It's easy. Visit linkedinlearning.com/problem and sign up for a demo today. Again, that's linkedinlearning.com/problem to sign up for a demo today. All right, we're back. So let's pick up with my conversation with Jesse Cole of the Savannah Bananas. He'd been talking about how he coaches other companies through this philosophy of not doing what people hate, which is so simple that it almost sounds stupid, but it can also be revelatory. Were you surprised at all at how much of a revelation this was for people? How this was new information for people? Because this is a funny thing that I find about talking about business in general, which is that some of the things, a lot of the things, I guess, that are so core to what is success in business are actually very simple. They're obvious things that we just forget about because business is complicated and you start to lose sight of what the foundation is of the thing that you're doing. I wonder what your experience has been like as you've literally, because I know you do a lot of speaking, literally taken this idea on the road.
Yeah, it's funny because when I say that, I go, hey, you want to know the best business plan in the world? Stop doing what people hate. Stop doing what your customers, and they're like, oh, and they start writing it down. I'm like, guys, you know, should write that down. It's very simple. And as you know, the most simple things really make the most impact a lot of time. And I share some great advice that I've received about listen carefully, respond creatively, love your customers more than you love your product. There's certain things that really hit home. But the starting point of it all, and you know, the next big thing I'm focusing on is how to create you wouldn't believe moments. How to get everyone to say, you wouldn't believe what happened when they came to the stadium. You wouldn't believe when I went to this restaurant. You wouldn't believe when I worked with this lawyer what they did. You wouldn't believe, you wouldn't believe. And you can't do that if you're doing things that frustrate your customers and friction points. And we have to live our brand. So what's happened, Jason, is it's unified our company even more because we're literally looking like, ooh, no, I think a customer might hate that. Let's not do it. Ooh, no, that's more for us. That's not for our customer. That's not for a fan. And if you'd like, I could share this big thing that we're doing that is, you know, really laid in the framework of this that no other sports team's ever done, but it's solely because of that. Stop doing what people hate.
Tell me.
So we are about to announce that we are creating the first ever ad-free stadium. So literally we have taken down every single billboard, every single ad, every single sign. We've taken away no ads in our programs, no announcements, no sponsor ads. We've thrown away hundreds of thousands of dollars. Wow. Because I believe, and we believe, not one fan comes to the ballpark to be advertised to. There's not one person in the world. I don't believe anyone wakes up and says, you know what? I hope I'm sold today. I hope someone markets something to me today, and I hope I'm advertised to today. Sure. And so if you look at every ballpark in the world, they go for the money. How do we get this money? Hey, this is great. It's an easy check, $20,000, $50,000, whatever that number is, to put their ad and capitalize on their fans. We want to serve our fans better. We don't want to capitalize on them. And so we're throwing that all away to give the stadium back to the fans. And it's crazy. And we looked at the numbers and we're like, all right, this is a pretty good risk, but we're going to be okay. And so that's what we did.
So that's amazing. Congratulations on that's a super bold move. Super, super bold. And I'm really curious what that conversation was like, because that is a lot of money left on the table. And you're right. that nobody shows up at a ballpark and says, I'm here for the ads. But at the same time, you know, how much friction is it? Nobody shows up at the ball. Nobody doesn't go to the ballpark because there are ads.
Correct. Well, it depends. It depends. I don't think it doesn't deter people, but it depends. Some teams, it's everywhere. And so what happens is most teams, every inning, this promotion sponsored by so-and-so car dealership, this promotion sponsored by so-and-so personal injury lawyer, that you're doing these promotions for the sponsor. You're not doing the promotions for the fans. And I think that is a frustration point. Like, oh, look, it's another little dizzy bat race. Oh, look, it's another wear this and do this. And they're doing it just for the sponsor. So they're doing it for that small amount of people as opposed to the greater good, which is 4,000, 10,000, whatever your stadium sits. So it's a friction point that's not a complete hate yet, but it could get there. And I think no one really gets excited about constantly hearing ads. I just think we tune them out. And so it takes away from your experience.
So how are you going to make up that revenue?
It's a great question.
Do you have an answer?
Well, yeah. So again, we are going all in. We believe that you should never sell something you don't believe in. So for instance, I'm not going to spend $25,000 on a billboard ad somewhere because I don't believe it's the best form of marketing. What I believe is investing in the experience. It's why, Jason, last year we paid a professional high fiver to high five fans at our games. Literally a 6-year-old. We probably broke child labor law. I don't know what we did, but we paid his mother. We figured it out. But the reality is we invest in that. We invest in the pep band. We invest in the experience. So what we're doing to recoup the money is we're going to teach people, and like we're doing with our workshops, Bananas for Business, our Fans First workshops, we are doing speaking keynotes and workshops at our stadium, which we share how to map the journey, create these you wouldn't believe moments, stop doing what your customers hate, and then they can take that to their company and actually start seeing a big return in the long game. So we would say invest a couple $1,000s, invest whatever to do this, as opposed to invest $15,000, $20,000 and hoping that the ad works. Make it a better experience. So that's where we're going all in. We won't recoup all the funds year one. We might not recoup it all year two. But by year three, year four, it should be a domino effect. And we're doing something that we believe in every single day and not selling something we don't believe in that frustrates our customers.
Now, to make a change like that, you don't do that overnight. You didn't wake up one day and say, yeah. Because I actually have a vague, vague recollection. When we met, which was a year and a half ago at this point, you mentioned that that was something you were thinking about or talking about or something. So that's been in the works for a while.
Yes, we finally pulled the trigger.
Yeah. Take me through how an organization absorbs such a game-changing idea like that and then actually gets to the moment where we say, okay, let's do it.
A great example was when we decided 3 months ago to eliminate all shipping charges. So to make free shipping. So we looked at all of, we know we said we're fortunate. We sell merchandise all over the world. And we looked, we said, all right, wow, shipping was only 3%. So all the shipping fees, it was 3%. So if we eliminated 3%, would that really hurt us? And could we recoup that 3% based on more people buying more frequently because the free shipping? So we said, that's actually a small bet. 3% we eliminate. Then we looked at our sponsorship fees, which was about 10% of our total revenue. We said, if we lose 10% of our total revenue and don't recoup any of it, are we still profitable? Will we still be eliminate all our debt finally last year? So we said, that is not actually a big bet. It won't kill the company. And so I think when we make these decisions, we looked at all the numbers. We said, all right, cut all that out. Worst case scenario, we don't sell one Fans First workshop. We don't do one keynote. We don't do any of that, which is not going to be the worst case scenario. It will be better than that. And we said we'd be okay. And then it made it easy. That was a slam dunk, no-brainer decision. So we didn't bet the farm. It seems like a very big, bold bet, and it's really more for cementing who we are and what we stand for. But that's how we made the decision. We weren't saying, oh, this is 50% of our business. Good luck. Which most teams, their sponsorship is almost 40, 50% because they didn't base it on taking care of fans. They based it on taking care of sponsors, which is a smaller base. We focused on getting people in the stadium to enjoy the experience first.
Right. So you thought very, very carefully, and I think this is the takeaway there of making that kind of change, is you don't just, I don't know what to say here, you're thinking about the fan and you're putting the fan first. But of course, before that, you also have to make sure that you're creating a company that's stable and is going to support the people who work there.
You can't put the fan first if you're out of business.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So you're trying to marry those two things at once, which is the health, the health of the company, and how can we be a healthier company by not taking the easy way out, by making money, but instead by serving those fans and having a plan for how more loyalty leads to more health for the company.
And it's a powerful brand statement. So what we believe by doing this, people are like, wow, they really do stand for the fans. They really do care about the fans. And for us, Jason, we spend $0 on marketing, zero. But we focus and we spend money on creating attention and creating a better experience. And we don't just have a marketing plan, we have an attention plan. We know by doing this, this will also create attention to our brand because of who we are and what we stand for. So there is that long game that we're playing. We're focusing, hey, are we staying in front of people? Are we staying remarkable? Or are we doing normal things like everyone else? And you know me, you've heard me say, normal gets normal results. I learned this for 6 months sleeping on an airbed, trying to sell the way everyone else would sell, and we failed. And so now it's like, all right, let's go the other direction. And you're right, be reasonable. We're not going to bet the farm, but we're going to continue making these bets, which short term may hurt. And you know, again, I know I referenced Amazon again, but they lost money for so many years. And now they're doing pretty good. All right, the answer isn't losing money. We want to make sure we were still profitable, but we're lowering that profit for the long term good of our fans. And we think that's going to be a winning play in the years to come.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right, Jesse, I'm going to wrap up with this. You and I were speaking by Skype. So I'm looking at you right now. You're wearing your trademark yellow tux in what looks like the bowels of a baseball arena there. And behind you is revealing a little of 2020. I've been staring at this. You've got this sign behind you. This is 2020 characters. And then this hilarious list of wacky things. Number two of which, I'm just going to reveal this to the masses. Number two of which is Furious George, which is amazing. So what am I looking at? And how is that built out of everything that we've just been talking about?
So every month we have idea paloozas. And so we have an idea box. We have idea paloozas with our whole staff. And one of them was about what characters can we introduce that'll be fun at the ballpark. And the first one, Director of Distraction, which is a whole other idea, Furious George. So we thought it'd be an idea to have this monkey character that just goes crazy during games when bad calls are happening, when things are just not going well and just going nuts around the stadium. A lot of these ideas, we have no idea what it looks like until we do it. Similar to our Mananas, our male cheerleading team last year, and DJ Peels on Wheels. And we just invent characters and try them out. So yeah, you're looking at a lot of them from Team Luchador. We actually had a Luchador reach out to us that Jen saw it. Yeah, the idea of actually being in the dugout and going crazy. So Where's Waldo, the Banana Boys, Stadium Lifeguard. There's a lot of ideas. The Team Grandma. We got a lot of ideas on there. And out of those, probably four or five of them will actually happen. And maybe one or two of them will be hits. But every year, what can we do that creates a story, gets people to talk and say, wow, these guys don't stop.
That's awesome. Well, Jesse, I am pulling for Furious George because just on pun name alone, I'm sold. Hey, listen, I really appreciate your time. I love your message and, keep on eliminating what people hate.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Jason.
Thanks, Jesse.
And that's our episode. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to Problem Solvers wherever you get your podcasts. We come out with a new episode every Monday morning and you don't want to miss it. And hey, be kind. Pass the show along to an entrepreneur friend who could use a boost. And did you solve a problem that would be good for this show? Let me know about it. Visit my website, jasonfeifer.com, JasonFeifer.com, where you can find my contact information and all sorts of other valuable info. Problem Solvers is a production of Entrepreneur Media. Be sure to visit entrepreneur.com for all your entrepreneurship needs. And even better, subscribe to our magazine, which is just full of the smartest entrepreneurs solving the toughest problems. My name is Jason Feifer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. Thanks for listening. And hey, let's go solve some problems.